In a world where trust on store shelves is an illusion, where every whiskey release claims to be the best that's ever been, where brands have traded quality for clever marketing, one show dares to take a stand. This is Unfiltered Access, presented by Public Barrel.
Welcome to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you a behind-the-scenes look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
Michael.
And Michael, today, we're going to use the F word.
The F word. Uh-oh.
Yeah, finishing.
Finishing.
But before that, we're going to talk about our weekend and a little bit of some exciting news about some things that we got to undertake. But we'll get into some cool finishes and some South Carolina specific whiskey here in a little bit, and pretty excited to go over that. But how's your weekend?
Not bad, not bad. Spent some time with you.
Yep.
At the distillery, doing some fun stuff, which we'll get into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, not bad.
Yeah, I had a good weekend. We got back from Colorado on Friday afternoon, and then spent Saturday at the distillery and Sunday mostly recovering from the week and the weekend's activities. But yeah, it was really good.
The feel-good story of the week, sponsored by Capsulite.
And the feel-good story of the week is actually what's in our glass, Michael.
You want to tell them about Capsulite?
Yeah, we can launch into that. So Capsulite, took some last night. Very thankful for that.
Oh, yeah, I was with you.
Yep. The Capsulite pregame is a supplement that you use to, it's got milk thistle extract. It's got a compound that breaks down acetaldehyde in your gut as opposed to in your liver, and it keeps your liver enzymes from spiking. It's a huge help to prevent hangovers, but the reason for hangovers is the byproduct of breaking down ethanol in your gut and in your liver, and so this bypasses that before it ever gets there, so it's a lot easier on your body. Wake up feeling better. Definitely, if you're going to be drinking some high-proof whiskey like we were last night, pop a couple of them. You won't regret it.
Yep.
But what is in our glass is not whiskey. It is 115-proof grappa, or American grappa, made from local Scuppernong grapes. And so we did a brandy at the distillery and then ran it through the smaller five-column still, and made it for a local restaurant group that's looking at making their own cordial. So, but they wanted to use, you know, hyper-local products, so we just did a test batch for them. But we've got a little sample of it here.
Doesn't get any more local than that?
No. Everything about this is local. Except for I fermented it with champagne yeast, which obviously from France. But
yeah,
it's nice. It's nice on the nose. It's got the cuts that I did, I kind of let it run pretty well into the tails, and it didn't get super funky or anything, but normally, if we were trying to get a very clean product, we would have cut it off probably a little earlier.
Yeah. We made about how many gallon? Probably about a gallon.
Yeah, about a gallon. Yeah. It was just a, 10-gallon small test batch, so it yielded a gallon at cask strength, it's not going into a cask, but at still strength, and the batch was 115.4. It was running off the still as high as 155 at one point.
Yeah.
So, we made a small, we cut the four shots and then made a small heads cut, and then the rest of it we just let run, and it never really went funky, but you can tell it's got a little bit of that tailsy character in it.
And it was all legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first ever legally distilled batch. So
on the record.
It's got a really nice, if you've had stronger grappa, it's got a little bit of like a grapey charcoal note to it. Like it's slightly tannic, almost like a Pinotage wine from South Africa.
You know what's really interesting? Sorry to interrupt, but that coffee note, like that latte note, completely gone.
Yours is? Mine's full of it.
Really?
Yeah. So you get, I get that like that char smoky note right in the middle, like kind of like a Pinotage, and then it just finishes out with that like sweet grape note. But
no, it's definitely not as potent as it was coming right.
Coming off the still, it was a lot more dramatic. And I let this ferment for I think a solid 8 days, which for a distillery, because I use champagne yeast, I didn't use turbo yeast, but for a distilled product, that's actually a pretty long fermentation. And did it in stainless and a conical fermenter, so it was decanted off as if I was doing a beer or a wine, so something a lot cleaner fermentation, which in turn makes a cleaner distillate.
Yeah. I actually like this. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's super nice. I like it. It's if this was on a shelf in a clear bottle at that strength, I think there would be a market for it. It'd be niche, but it's just as a test batch, it's a lot of fun, and the grapiness comes out pretty dramatically. But yeah, that's our feel good story. I think it's a cool project. Stuff like this is really where the market's going to head. You know, not necessarily the whiskey market. I don't see Jim Beam ever getting into brandy. And if they do, it's going to be under the Suntory family of brands rather than Claremont. But the, you know, I say that, but Barton Distills for E&J. So,
have you ever heard of a place in Louisville called Copper and Kings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They make good brandy.
Yeah, they do. They do apple brandy and stuff from what I understand, from apple concentrate rather than using whole apples like Laird's does.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody says that they use whole apples, so I don't really know what the truth is. Yeah. But I have heard of it, and I've seen the labels before. But I think that little one-offs like this, though, you know, making house-made limoncello and cordials and... Actually, you didn't go to Wood Hat, but he had a cherry cordial that he makes out of his bourbon, and it is so good.
Of course he does. He's awesome.
It is so good. And actually, that was Bruzel's favorite thing that he had there. Out of all that are there, he asked for bottles of cordial to take back. But I think things like this are, you know, especially for whiskey palates that are otherwise just kind of tired, little things like this are a lot of fun.
Keeps the palate on its toes.
Yep. And speaking of keeping your palate on the toes, that's a really good transition, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
In the next segment, we are going to get into finishes. Like I said, we're gonna get into the F word here in this segment. And we've got two different wine finishes from the same base distillate. And we're going to talk about when is appropriate to finish whiskey, what good finished whiskey tastes like and should be, and where you can find it. And if you want to find us, you can email us at info@publicbarrel.com for anything Public Barrel related. That's Michael and I's brand. It's www.publicbarrel.com. Facebook and Instagram @publicbarrel. The show is Unfiltered Access. It's on every major podcast platform. And when we get back, we'll get into these finished whiskeys. We've also got a couple samples, distillery samples of some aged product that we're going to talk about. And then you had the grappa. Do you have anything for Guess That Pour? I looked at your face.
I do. I mean, you're going to know it right away. So
perfect.
It's probably not even.
It's about time that I shined on one of those because I've been pretty poor on
lately.
Yeah.
We can get into
I'm that. Like, what, probably 2 for 8 all times. You rolled that out.
Nah.
Maybe a little better than that, but not much.
I've thrown you some pretty good curveballs, though.
I know. I've been sucking it up pretty bad, though. So we'll get into that on the way back. And then I think next week we'll get to we're going to go down to Detling and Atmore, Alabama, and talk with our friend Seth. So I'm going to try to get some audio clips and stuff down there as well and see if we can get it in. But we'll be back after these messages.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, you'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry. I'm Dan.
Michael.
And Michael, the end of the last segment, I talked about the fact that we were going to get into some wine finishes. And what I have in front of me is 100% Jimmy Redcorn bourbon from our friends down at Highwire. Shout out to Rachel and Alexander down there and the team. One is finished for, I think it was 4 years, 5 months in a Mathiasen Napa Red Cab barrel. And then one was finished for 4 years in Madeira. It's a fortified wine, but in Madeira casks. And so I wanted to talk about it. We're pretty familiar with the base distillate, the oily corn notes, the delicious spiciness you get out of the Jimmy Red Corn. But I wanted to get into the cab finish. We know the Madeira is a massive, massive pour, but go ahead and get yourself some cab in your glass. And you and I have had plenty of experience with finished whiskey to different levels of success.
Yep, especially cab finished.
Yep. And I think the biggest thing with cab finishes is time. Like, this was finished for 4.5 years. So, now granted, the quality of the cask is also something to consider as well. So, in the aging environment, what's it aged? Which this is, if you look at the color on it, it's pretty well aged.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of our cab finish Willets are around that shade as well. So, a lot of that's from the finishing, a lot of it's from the age and the introduction of French oak, and some of those heads and stuff are toasting on those cab, like the darker, heavier skin grape varietals. So some of that could come organically from the oak as well. But just kind of wanted to talk through that and kind of say why it might benefit a whiskey to have it finished, and then why I think a lot of brands might not do it right.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I enjoy it. It does not taste overly finished. There's been times where I want to say but definitely I've had whiskey that was overly finished. And yeah, this is a lot more pleasant. It's a lot more balanced. Still tastes finished, but not overly finished.
Yeah, and full disclosure, we actually own some barrels that I would call overly finished, just out of fairness.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make a lot of sense, considering this has been finishing for longer. A lot longer, actually, than any of our wine cask finish.
Yeah.
But it tastes less finished in those. Mm-hmm. Now, there could be a variety of reasons for that. Once again, climate, temperature, quality of the barrel itself, the base distillate not being argumentative with the finish itself. But I think that time is the number one kicker.
Yeah.
I feel like the really good finished whiskeys, one, they're good whiskey to start with, but so they're not putting in their worst barrels trying to mask a problem. Mm-hmm. They're putting in good whiskey. Then they're giving it enough time that it's either just barely touched it, and it's, you know, like something like sherry staved or something that just adds just a little bit of fruitiness, or they go all in like this, which is over 4 years of finishing, and let it become a cohesive product that's not necessarily the base bourbon anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of ours are heading. They seem to be, we're talking about our cab finish Willet, so they seem to be heading in that direction, and they're pushing 3 years, some odd number of months in the finish. And no, actually, they're pushing 4 now. So they might be within 6-7 months of this amount of finishing.
Yeah. If this is the indicator of it, then I'm very pleased.
Yeah. If the River Roots VSB port finishes that were in there for 6 years, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason that they were finished for 6 years, is they weren't great before that, but they're great now.
Question for you. How long was that? Was the Armagnac Buff Turkey? No, the Tokaj. The Tokaj, the Hungarian wine. You
the
had
buff
that bottle?
Turkey?
Yeah. The one.
You talking about the one that's from from Ampersand?
No, I remember you had like a
single barrel.
Yeah, that was. How long was that finished?
11 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that's, you know, that's also a 16-year bourbon in there, so it's
right.
A little bit more powerful to start with. But yeah, this is over 4 years, and it feels like a cohesive product now. Like the it's not wine finished bourbon, and it's not bourbon finished in wine casks. Mm-hmm. It is one cohesive entity that is both bourbon and some form of brandy at this point, and it in a way that is really, really special. So I think that this is kind of where the market's heading. If you look at what Whistlepig did 15 years ago, 20 years ago with the market, Peter Bachta, Raj Bachta, Raj Peter Bachta, whatever his name is, now owns that brand Bachta that does the Armagnac and bourbon blends. I think that that's not necessarily, he's making a niche for himself for sure, but I think that's kind of where the market's heading, is that these cohesive products that are a greater percentage of a sum rather than its parts. If you think about, a lot of the, like the Madeira, even the Old World finish, the Madeira, Whistlepig and stuff, those weren't finished long enough. The same thing with the Master's Collection, in my opinion, from Woodford Reserve. I just don't feel like that they taste like finished whiskey to me. Mm-hmm. They don't taste like this. This is something totally different.
Yeah.
So cohesive, you know, polished, rounded product that that is better than both the stock-based whiskey and brandy.
Yeah. I've even had some of, like, Angel's Envy, mm-hmm. like, single barrels of their port finished. And, I mean, they're, well, I guess it's different, but the rye that's in the rum casks.
Oh, like, I like their ryes.
Yeah. But even just talking about the bourbon that's port finished, like, some of them can be a little over-finished.
Yeah, and they taste fruity and jammy, and they haven't had any heat to them. Whereas this feels like it has, it's almost stewed. Does that make sense? Like you cooked the jamminess out of it, and it's like, I mean, that's what I get out of this. And I think that that's probably, you know, our Willets were aged in California, and from what I understand, to be a pretty temperate climate and winemaking country. I mean, it gets warm there during the days, but I'm guessing they weren't in a regular rick house, so having them experience some Kentucky heat for a couple seasons is going to do them some wonders. And if they come out half this good, then I think it's an amazing, amazing triumph for us.
Now, for the pick of the week provided by Wine Express.
And the pick of the week is actually what we're drinking. It is Jimmy Red finished in a Cabernet cask. It is a Mathiasen red wine cask, and it is bottled at 126 proof, 7 year, 4 month. It was originally in a Charlois Cooperage toasted char 3 barrel for 36-month air cure. And it is available at Wine Express, 202 Scuffletown Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina, for $79, Michael.
Wow.
The whiskey is insane. And I think that there might be only a couple cases left on the shelf, but get over there and go get it.
I might be running over there after the show.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to this week's installment of Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm Dan.
And last segment, we talked about the cab finish Jimmy Red from our friends at Highwire. I almost said High West. Highwire down in Charleston. So now we're going to talk about the Madeira finish.
The Madeira finish. And so Madeira is an island in Portugal, and it is a fortified wine. So the Madeira finish is also over 4 years finished at Highwire in Charleston. It was in their main kind of like experimental barrel area along where the cab was actually as well. So Madeira is made, it's made and stored in full 59 gallon French oak casks. I guess they're French oak. They might be Spanish oak, but it is a fortified wine, and I couldn't get this empty barrel, and I wanted it. Actually, I wanted the Cabernet one as well, just for kicks and giggles, but I really wanted this Madeira one, and apparently they're planning on reusing it for a different project, but the resulting note, I don't even know, how would you describe that on the nose? It's got like a, kind of like a creme brulee, like, almost like lactic funk a little bit on the nose, like that smells. It's not like the Sauternes or the Tokai, like that cheesecake note or that ice cream note. This is more like, yeah, like creme brulee, a little bit like a cafe latte almost. Yeah.
Like the Sauterne, like the TST, was it TST2, the dark
arts? Yeah, it's like cheesecake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like pumpkin cheesecake. It's great for the fall, but this is way different.
Yeah, this is yummy.
Yeah.
And so it is 100% Jimmy Redcorn. I picked this barrel on June 9th. So they turned it around pretty quick for them. They they took about a month after I finished it. Found out that later on, at least two other groups, retailers, have picked the Madeira casks after I went through, and it started up a little bit of a hornet's nest in my Discord, me saying that I had got the cherry of the bunch, because at the time, I tasted all of them they had, and they had never done a Madeira finish release, and so I did get the cherry. This one is so good.
I have a question for you on that. So what is the difference between this and like a Spanish or French oak?
Well, Madeira is a product from a region. It could be in French or Spanish oak.
Okay.
A French oak finish, technically that Cabernet finish is a French oak finish, but it happens to have been not a virgin barrel. It's had, you know, wine in it, or in this case, Madeira in it. And so, if you were to do a Spanish oak has, it's a different species of Quercus alba, which Quercus alba is white oak, so Spanish oak is Quercus something else. But it's going to have different character, whereas, like, you know, you look at Brazilian Ambarana, it's going to have, like, extreme cinnamon toast notes and, you know, like, off-the-wall acrid candy and all sorts of things, depending on how much contact you get. Spanish oak has like really nice toasted almonds and a little bit of that baker spice character, but it's not dominating. It's a little more accommodating to the base product that's in it. French oak has a lot of like cedar and graphite notes and stuff that I pick up on it, and they can be a lot more complex too. So they can add texture and depending on the cooperage and condition at which it's been held and everything, it can amplify toast notes and other things. But these wine finishes, specifically this Madeira finish, is so Madeira being a fortified wine, it was stronger. It was made, you know, it's made in an island in Portugal, so it's made to be seafaring. You know, you put non-fortified wine at sea on old wooden ships, and it's spoiled by the time it arrives where it's supposed to go. And if I'm not mistaken, and I just learned this, I don't know, probably 6 months ago, Edward Teach, Captain Blackbeard.
Yeah.
So when he sieged Charleston Bay, like the port of Charleston, laid siege to it, his negotiation was for Madeira.
Wow.
And so having what I consider to be the creme de la creme of Madeira cask finish whiskey from Charleston Bay, it's pretty cool. You know, it's like I thought about doing some sort of Blackbeard thing with it and stuff. Like, but I hate tater labels. I really do.
Except for our rum, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, that's not a tater label,
but it's like we did the pirate theme.
Yeah, it is pirate themed. But, and that's actually what I was hoping to get the Madeira barrel for.
Oh, dude, that would be
that insane. Rum and that barrel would be ridiculous.
You do like release one Wood Hat and then release two Madeira. Like, it's a good follow up for sure.
There you go. Just cheers in the microphone. But yeah, this is it's a really cool product. It is exceptionally inexpensive for what it is. $79 on either of these is ridiculous. But this whiskey and any other label, not any other label, but a majority of larger labels, and it was this good, it would either be blended with inferior whiskey to try to raise the overall floor of said whiskey and we'd never know about it. Or it would be released as a single barrel at some exorbitant cost. And if it was Woodford Reserve, it would be proofed down to 90 and then released at some exorbitant cost.
Yeah, no.
But it's crazy. It's actually crazy what they can do with 100% corn in a mash bill, too. And it's a testament to the fact that Jimmy Red, I think, is not a gimmick. I think it's actually really good distiller's corn because the whiskey they make is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you think of any other 100% corn bourbon, it doesn't taste like this.
Yeah, no, it's certainly unique. I did have a thought on the Madeira specifically. So I remember last night we were drinking and there was that like cigar ash note.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool. Like, I don't really get a lot out of many whiskeys, but that one, like this one specifically has that, like, it's not even like menthol. It's more just like that cigar ashtray.
But and what he's saying, when he's like, talking about ashtray, I think it's almost more like if you would taste a really, really good Texas brisket and you get a lot of the bark on it.
Oh, yeah.
On how it dries out the fattiness just enough to make it a better piece of the whole.
Yeah.
Or a really good crust on a steak. Like, this has that, this has that tannic, acrid note that's just right to where it, like, doesn't go over the top.
It's not like burnt, bitter, anything like that. It's a very pleasant note. It's really hard to describe. You should pick one up, and maybe you agree with me.
The only way they'll pick that up is if they find it on my Discord, though, unfortunately.
Ah, yes, I forgot that. This one's not in Wine Express, but...
If you want to go to the Discord, it's The Pope Drinketh. If you look up that, you'll find it. It's it is a... It's an oddball place, but...
Join the fun.
We have a lot of whiskey there. A whole lot of whiskey, and this is one of them. And it's $79, just like the other one. And, I mean, the color on it's like charcoal.
Yeah, I posted this... on my story last night, and I was like, this is probably, I said, say hello to the darkest whiskey I own.
Yeah.
It's like, it is. And we've released one dram to find them all, which is very noticeably dark, but this is way darker.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, really cool whiskey. I'm not a Madeira like expert by any means, but, I think that after having this, I will become a Madeira expert, because if Madeira is that good, I need to really get into some. I don't really drink a lot of fortified wine, though. I'm not a huge port guy. I do appreciate like an aged port. Sauternes, same. I'm not a huge Sauternes guy. But I might could get into Madeira. Apparently there are like 5 major grape varietals in Madeira. And I know Verdelejo and Tinta Negra. But there's also 3 more that are different levels of dryness and sweetness. And I don't even know. I guess Wine Express would be the place to go find good Madeira. But being fortified in South Carolina, that's actually probably a whole discussion of it in and of itself. But it has to be sold on the liquor side.
Yeah.
So... Wine Express would probably be initially the best place to find one, but maybe even Total Wine, as much as I would normally wouldn't drop the T word. But being fortified, it has to be sold on the liquor side, and you need a wine nerd on the liquor side in South Carolina to be able to really like showcase Madeira or any other fortified wine. So go to your local liquor store. See if they have it. See if they've got a good one. If it comes in a gallon jug, probably avoid it. But check out Madeira and check out this Jimmy Red Madeira finish. It is insane. Cheers to High Wire. You guys did it better than anybody else has.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, you'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, Michael. You have a little segment that you like to call...
Guess That Pour?
I teed you up on that one.
Oh, yeah.
So he has a pour he's keeping very secretive from me because he wants me to be surprised by this. And I am because I have no preconceived notion of what this might be, but he says I'll know right away, which means I'll probably flunk. Oh, it's super light.
Super light.
I'm going to have to smell this again. Okay. I think I smell a little bit of the Madeira finish in my glass still.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to throw it off. Oh, that's good. I feel like I should know what this is. And I probably do. But I just need to dig.
Yeah. So what are you getting off the palate?
It's I would say it's lower proof. I would put this below 125.
Yeah.
I think it is... It's like a medium amber. It's got a very... Man, it's got a very like butterscotchy vanilla note, but not necessarily like Ivy Mountain butterscotch.
It's not Georgia.
No, I was going to say, but when I say butterscotch, that's immediately what comes to mind is the Ivy Mountains. That doesn't have that feeling to it. It's got good legs, so I would say this is probably cask strength or at least 107 proof. Mm-hmm. So under 120, above 106.
I honestly don't know the proof. We need your proof gun. We need the proof gun.
God, it tastes like a mixture of Jim Beam and Bardstown in a weird way. Like, it's candy forward, but it tastes like Knob Creeky. It's a little bit tangy. I would put it in Kentucky. I don't think it's Indiana.
It's Kentucky.
Yeah. And I would say it's bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it does. It feels like a mixture, like a conglomeration between Bardstown and Jim Beam, which means it might be a Four Roses product, but
it is not.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was, but I don't think.
Yeah,
it is.
I know.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I am ready. What do we got? Oh, it's Ozzy Tyler.
Yeah,
I didn't know you robbed one of those. Did I hand it to you?
You gave them to me. You gave me the box.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll throw one in. Maybe we can talk about it on the air.
That explains why it's hyper Bardstown-y. Those were all, that whole barrel set was aged at Bardstown, not at Green River.
Yeah, so you're like half correct.
Yeah. No, this is super good. It is lower proof, which makes sense. I should have known. So those samples, this is Ozzy Tyler 7021-9, currently aged right at the base of the Ohio River, but spent some time in Bardstown. And it is super, super, super low proof for Ozzy Tyler.
Yeah.
Which is why that should have given it away, but I'd forgotten that you took those.
You gave them to me.
I know.
I was like, oh, you repurpose it for show fodder.
So. Yeah, this works. This is good. Yeah. And the whiskey, you're not drinking it. The whiskey's really good.
Yeah.
Did you try them the other night?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, get into it.
All right.
You're going to have to drink that Madeira at some point. No, these barrels are really, really cool. They are right at 8 years old, but they feel quite a bit younger than that, honestly. I think that our toasted Ozzy Tyler barrels that we have for public barrel are quite a bit darker than this.
Yeah, I mean, last night we had the tested and refined, and that was an 8 year.
Oh, yeah, that one's a monster.
That was 132 proof, so.
I'm talking about our 7021-9s at the distillery.
Yeah.
They're a similar age and profile, but totally different. Like color and texture.
Yeah, these are a lot lighter.
Yeah. Still really good juice. It does feel Jim Beamy to me. And that's not a negative critique on this. I think that a lot of the early Ozzy Tyler stuff, Jacob Call told me that Sammy Call, his dad, when they went to go up there and actually start distilling, set everything up to Jim Beam specs because that's what Samuel knew to tune the system. So a lot of the early batches... and that's why they use 9% malted barley in their mash bill. is a lot of the early batches were tuned to Jim Beam profiles. Now, what made the difference was the aging, where it was aged, and the cooperage they put it in. So a lot of the ISC OZ Tyler that was out there was very Jim Beam-esque, and I'm just a dope and didn't put them together. Even though you talked me up and said, oh, you'll get this. You'll know this. No.
It is different. It is a bit of a curveball because this is...
Because I've got no reference for this at all.
Right, and our typical OZ Tyler stuff that we're used to is different than this.
Yeah, and that's not to say this isn't good. This is amazing whiskey. Like, this tastes like Knob Creek. I mean, you could tell me that that is cash strength Knob Creek, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm down with that. I get that.
You don't get any apple?
Not really.
I get the apple on the finish.
Yeah, I'm not picking up any apple. I'm picking up like that pistachio cashew shell.
Really?
No, right you through. And then the finish. Okay. Yeah, and then the well, it's not like Jim Beam peanuts. It's
right,
not,
right, right.
It's not like the hyper expressive Knob Creeks that are peanut forward.
Yeah.
But this feels, it feels lightly fruity and candy forward, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. It's one note that I think that Jim Beam doesn't really get associated with as much. But even when I taste candy, it's like payday candy, like, you know, the candy bars with the caramel and everything in it, which I love paydays. It's a great bar. But yeah, this has a lot of it. And I think that the fruit character on this, I mean, maybe I could pick out apple if I like really breathed it in, like I was trying to pick out menthol. Mm-hmm. I could pick up some of that note, but I'd be off of my palate right now. I'd be fishing for it. It wouldn't be like blatant to me. It is kind of tangy though. I think our OZ Tylers are like apple bombs sometimes when you get into them, and it's like undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, you can find caramel apple
decadence
at Wine Express.
There's not many of them. I will tell you that they are, I mean, they are a very dwindling
good
quantity, which is good because that means other people are getting really good whiskey.
Yeah, but those ones are caramel apple, just like
yeah,
the name.
That is an apple bomb. And then the Fireside Perfection at Bourbon Barn isn't quite as apple forward, but it has, I think, that s'more roasted marshmallow campfire complexity after that bottle's opened a little bit is super, super nice on that bottle. And I think that between that, the Absolute Zero barrel that we released, and Autumn Kind of Vibes, I think that has been the second favorite collectively behind Autumn Kind of Vibes.
Nice.
But they're all kind of like balancing each other out. The people that talk about them, it's like, oh, I love this bottle. And it's like the one guy killed Absolute Zero in my group the other day, and he's like, this bottle was so good. It's like, dude, thank you. I'm glad that you guys got into it. Because that is the one downfall, I think, with collecting that much whiskey, is sometimes it takes people a year to kill a bottle of whiskey, which...
I'm guilty.
and these aren't like hyper-collectible bottles. These are just like single-barrel releases that are kind of cool. But when you give it that much time, it's sometimes hard to really hear a lot of feedback from a collection of people. Like, we sent out... those barrels all yielded between 150 and 160 bottles, and that's like some of the first feedback I've seen in that barrel in 6 months.
Wow.
It's crazy, but I'm guilty of it too, you know? I've got bottles I haven't cracked in 2 years. Actually, no, I don't. They're up in a barrel in the top of my roost now.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually got to go pick up the two more Jimmy Red barrels on Friday morning. So we're going to be at Firefly for a concert and then go down there and pick up a couple empty barrels and haul them back.
Nice.
Be a good time. Yeah, we're seeing the Black Keys.
Dude, that's going to be a good show.
At Firefly. And the cool thing is my Kibbles and Bits barrel that I picked from Firefly should be bottled tomorrow. So there's a chance that I might be able to go down there and actually grab a fresh bottle off the line of my own whiskey at a Black Keys concert.
Dang. Living the dream.
Get Dan Auerbach to sign it. It'd be sweet.
Oh, there you go.
Cheers, guys.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
You've been listening to Unfiltered Access, brought to you by Public Barrel. For more information, visit publicbarrel.com.